Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I say Thanksgiving, you say turkey. I say Valentine's Day, you say roses. I say wedding day, you say love. I say Saturday morning, you say Rothenberg. And that's where we are. And here's a little gift for you. Early on a Saturday, as we just get rolling on what is supposed to be a blizzard-like day in the tri-state area, we're not giving you the normal 9 to 12. No. We're going till 12:30. We're giving you the extra little half-hour boost here on 98.7 ESPN, leading you right in to the Islanders and the Capitals, 12:30, 98.7. So you and I have the morning, the early afternoon, lot and lots of time together here on 98.7. And it's a good thing we have the extra half hour because there's a lot to do. This was a wild week with all happening in the world of baseball, with the Beckham stuff, with, and everyone that defends Beckham in this story, I just feel like shaking my head and saying, you don't get it. You don't get him, honestly. But when these things happen, my first thought is, thank God he's not a member of the Giants. Thank God. I don't want this. This is a disaster. He's a fool. You talk about a narcissist, he is a narcissist. All right, we'll leave Beckham at the side for the moment. Let him get out of that haze he seemed to be in on Monday night. We'll get to baseball in a couple of moments. 800-919-3776. Rangers have been playing great hockey. Looks like R.J. Barrett's going to be out for a minimum of a week now with the sprained ankle, and watching that ankle the other night against Phoenix, the game the Knicks played beautifully in, by the way. I would be surprised if he was back in any time less than 3 to 5 weeks, but who knows. All right, so let's lead with this, and this wasn't the intent. You know, starting into yesterday, we'll probably go baseball and the cheating scandal and, you know, Trout now being named as HGH guy by Brocious's son. And just, I mean, the depths of where baseball got to this week was really upsetting. But that's not where we're going to start. We're going to start with the Giants, and we're going to start with their new offensive coordinator. And it's weird. I got a lot of tweets last night. What do you think? Do you love it? Do you hate it? How do you feel about this? I feel kind of in the middle. And obviously the Giants hired Jason Garrett as their new offensive coordinator, and that's what they're going to do. So a couple of reasons I like it and a couple of reasons I don't like it. And time will tell. First of all, we talked about Joe Judge needing someone who's been through the battles in the NFC East. That's Jason Garrett. So I feel good about that. Someone that maybe, you know, is a veteran presence on that staff. You feel good about that. So there are things that you like about it. And he's a smart guy and he's a capable guy. So those are all things that you certainly like about Jason Garrett. And he knows the Cowboys. And he knows them well. And it's another thing you like, the tendencies. Who does what well? Another thing you like about the hiring of Jason Garrett. All right. Some of the negatives, it's the same thing. It's the same old, we got to be comfortable with the guy we hire. It's got to be the Giants way. This is, right, we keep talking about breaking away from the Giants way. Well, they didn't do it. Right, so we're almost done now. And they didn't break away from the Giants way. Dave Gettleman still running the war room. And who do you hire as your number one assistant coach running the offense? A guy that is well within the Giants way. I'm sure the Mara and Maratich contingent didn't have this hire get made and say, oh, we don't love that. I'm sure they're beaming. Now, who knows how much they pushed it, but I'm sure they're beaming to the point that Jason Garrett is the new OC of the New York Football Giants. So, look, there are positives. I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's nothing positive. Do I love it? I'm okay with it. I see the positives. He's a smart football guy. He's been a head coach. He gives some validity to at least help Joe Judge along the way when he runs into these roadblocks of, I've never done this before. Well, you know what? You go down the hall and you have a guy that has done it before. So that is a positive, but it's the same thing. And how long? Here's the thing. Year one, Shula, right? And Shermer. And that's what Daniel Jones has to work with. Shula and Shermer. Year two, Judge and Garrett. And you tell me, do you see this as a long-term destination for Jason Garrett, or do you see this as a stepping stone for Jason Garrett? Is this something that's 2-year job and then when the next head coaching gig comes open and he goes and takes it. So now you're talking about if that is true, and if that is what happens, now you're talking about a third offensive coordinator for Daniel Jones in what, in 3 years, in 4 years, if things go well and Jason Garrett's here for 3 years, in 5 years. So that's not ideal. Nobody loves that. So I think he's a good guy. I think he's a great guy. I mean, he's as well-respected around the NFL as anybody is. And I don't see this hire and think to myself, this is awful by any stretch. But do I love it? Can I sit here and tell you that this is a sensational hire? That I love this hire? No. I'd be lying if I told you that, and I don't like to lie. So that's where we are. Do I love what the Giants have done this offseason? No. Do I hate what the Giants have done this offseason? No. Time will tell. We'll sit here and we'll wait and we'll get to September, which can't get here soon enough, by the way. Really? So what are we, 7 months away? A couple of weeks away from being 7 months to the NFL season? I mean, the NFL season's not over yet, and I can't wait for the next one. And I don't even feel good about the Giants. That's why the NFL is so addictive. You love your team. You get to, you know what the Giants are like? The Giants are like that person who on a Friday night drinks way too much. And they wake up on Saturday and they feel awful. And they say to themselves, you know, I'm not falling for this again. Like, I'm not going out a week from now and doing this again and waking up a week and a day from now with the same, oh God, I'm not doing this again. And then you get to Wednesday and you say to yourself, I can't wait for Friday when we can do that all over again. That's what the Giants are to the fans. That the Giants are the drug to the fans. Because right now you're like, oh God, it's the same old song and dance. They didn't really make huge moves. I mean, it's a new head coach and you don't know what he is. But, you know, it's the familiarity, comfortability factor now, of course, of Jason Garrett. So I think you can feel okay. I don't think you love it. And we'll get to March and you'll be like, I can't wait for Giants football. And I think there's optimism for Giants football. Look, Joe Judge is the unknown, which I got to tell you, it's better than what a lot of teams have, because a lot of teams have the known that you don't like. At least he's the unknown that you don't know about. But they'll be a better team next year. I mean, they have to be a better team next year. You can't put a worse team on the field next season. So you got the number four pick in the draft. You got a boatload of money. And you have a quarterback going into his second season. There is no chance that the Giants are a worse team in 2020 than they were in 2019. But is that enough? Are they competitive? Can we play a game that matters late in October, early November for once? I mean, this organization has been irrelevant as far as meaningful football in November for years. For years. The last time they played meaningful football deep into a season, they went on a boat trip. And that leads you back to Beckham, who is nothing short of an unmitigated disaster. Watching him and his antics this week, I just shook my head. Same old Beckham, never going to change. So glad to be done with him. Go bother Cleveland. Go get in the face of LSU. LSU coming out this week, we don't know that we can be associated with Odell Beckham anymore. Well, you know what? The Giants don't want to be associated with Odell Beckham anymore. And the Browns have them, and they're completely dysfunctional, and we'll see how long they're willing to be associated with Odell Beckham, because all he is about himself. I don't even know, typically you say something to the effect of, well, we all have friends like that. I don't even know that we have friends like that. I don't even know that any of us have friends that every single time anything happens, it's about them. But that's exactly what he is. Good riddance. Goodbye, good luck, go bother LSU, go bother Cleveland, go drop passes elsewhere. 800-919-3776. Giants make a hire at OC of Jason Garrett. So obviously, big news on the table.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
By the way, before we get into the Mets, and we will in moments, 800-919-3776, this story has so many layers, it's unbelievable. So you got the Astros issue, you got the Red Sox issue, although I will say that if any team this is not awful for, it's, here's the way I see it, it's the worst for the Astros, because A, everyone absolutely despises them. B, they lose their GM and their manager. And C, they're considered huge cheaters. And now you hear, oh, they should take the rings away. It's not going to happen. They are the villains here, followed by the Red Sox. But you could argue that as good as Alex Cora is, and he is an excellent manager, and whatever else he does on the side, he does it well. But on top of that, you could argue that Chaim Bloom, new GM Red Sox, is not horrified that he now gets to bring in his own manager. So I don't think the Red Sox are hurt all that badly at all. Now, if they wind up losing draft picks and money, then that's different. But right now, I don't think all that badly. We'll find out when their punishment comes down. And then there's the Mets, and I think people will argue with this. Maybe you look ridiculous, and you certainly look ridiculous in giving these asinine answers of, well, we never really discussed Carlos Beltran. You had an 8-hour meeting with the guy, and you never brought up any of the stuff that went on with the Astros? I mean, what kind of an operation are you running there? I mean, Brody, you're unbelievable. I mean, the answers that he gave the other day of, well, that kind of stuff just, it never came up. Well, what came up? Really? What do you have an 8-hour meeting. What did come up? His favorite ice cream? What diner he likes to go to? How he likes his eggs? What came up? And I understand if you thought, look, we hired this guy, and now we have the advantage of some of the things he knows about and is able to do, and the creativity as far as getting an advantage. But it's enough. I mean, the commissioner has come out and told you, guys, it was okay for a while. It's no longer okay. Stop doing it. And Carlos Beltran said, here's the middle finger. I'm doing it. So we'll get to the Mets, but there's a lot of things here. 800-919-3776. But can I just tell you, and Alan Ahn was in the studio for just a couple of minutes yesterday. He had some car issues and he came in late, and then we went along with RJ Bell and whatever. Along with RJ Bell is something that typically happens. Likes to talk. But Monday, holiday, you're probably going to be home. Maybe you go to work. You certainly won't be in school. We're launching a new show, and it is going to be, I was in studio, they did a podcast yesterday, and I walked in to put my headphones away, and I heard them just deep in conversation. Bart and Han, 1 to 3, after our show, DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, leading into the K show at 3, I mean, not only someone that works at the station am I excited about just the day that we're going to have on 98.7. But Bart and Han on its own is going to be, you're going to have to listen to this. Because Han is terrific. And I'd like to think I have a little bit of something to do with that. But Han is terrific. And Bart has more opinions than anyone I've probably ever met. So they're going to have a ton of fun and topics and opinions. So it's going to be real good. So again, the day is, just to let you navigate it, 5 to 6, the great Gordon Damer. 6 to 10, Golic Wingo. 10 to 1, my personal favorite, DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. 1 to 3, Bart and Han. 3 to 7, the K Show. 7 to 10, Chris Carlin. 10 to midnight, Larry Hardesty. Now that's a show. That's a day at the station. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's get into where we are. So, a lot of things. First of all, Astros are cheaters. I think we all agree with that. And this is not your normal garden variety of cheating. What they've done now, and it's hard to argue this. Would you be at all surprised if the buzzers were involved? And you give a lot of credit. And I heard, is it John Boy was on the K Show this week, and he had some really interesting insights. And good for him. This is a guy that he was nothing, and he just grinded it out and worked hard and figured out some of the things that the Astros were doing. And it's such a bad look. Look, Major League Baseball's come out. They've suspended the manager. They've suspended the GM. The owner is livid. The franchise, which is, and let's be fair, whether you like him or not, one of the great franchises in all of baseball right now, and one of the most talented teams in all of baseball, to have that franchise get hammered like they did. So now you look at Houston, and now you look at where they are, and they'll still be good because they're still a very talented team. But for the man that runs baseball to come out and have to do this, and what he did, and this is fair, he drew the line in the sand. You're doing it. We know you're doing it. Now you stop. And they basically said, we're not stopping. We'll find new and creative ways to cheat, to the point that the manager of the team took the monitors and smashed them obviously not everyone was on board with this. It's hard to believe, and it's really concerning, if they are putting buzzers or whatever it is under their jerseys and are being signaled what the pitch is. Now, look, I played baseball when I was a kid. I don't even know that I played to the point that there was off-speed pitches, to be honest with you, right? I finished around 12 years old, but I watched my son play, and he's a good player, and he's now 13, and there are now a lot of change-ups. They're starting to throw curveballs and obviously fastballs. At his level, if I told him, Ben, fastball's coming, he would have a huge advantage. It's a huge advantage. And let's be fair. It's such an awful look that there's video of Altuve hitting that home run, rounding the bases. And in one of the, let's be honest, right? This has to be one of the great moments in his, probably in his life, certainly in his professional life. He just hit a home run. His team fell apart. He just hit a home run to push his team into the World Series against another team that might be the most hated in all of sports. And you say, well, here in New York, they're loved, and that's true. But nationally, people can't stand the Yankees. So it's a huge moment, like it or hate it, wherever side you fall here, right? And to have his first thought, it's kind of sad when you think about it. Rounding third base of, do not rip off my jersey, do not rip off my jersey. And then he's asked, why? Well, my wife didn't like it last time it happened. Come on. Now, you don't know for sure, but you don't like what you know. So that's where you start. And then the Mets, and only the Mets, can be radio silent on this for days. And then you snap your fingers and they make the move. And then they tell you that they never even had these discussions with Carlos Beltran. How is that possible? You met with the guy for hours. You grilled him on everything he's capable or incapable of doing and what kind of manager he's going to be. Well, what did he say when you discussed that with him? Well, we never talked about that. Well, why would you, right? Why would you? Teams have only been talking about it for years. Beltran was considered the linchpin, the kingpin, along with Alex Cora. And it never came up in conversation. Give me a break. The Mets could have owned the day. They could have come out and said immediately, you know what? He's our guy. We're not firing him. And this is the avenue we choose to take. Fine. Or, you know what? We don't like the fact that he was so heavily involved with this. We knew about it. We didn't know it was to this extent. And we're going to move on. Fine. It's no loss. He was never even your manager. He never managed a game. You don't know what he is. He might be the best. He might be the worst. So you're going to hire Luis Rojas or Eddie Perez or whoever you wind up with. You don't know if they're going to be better or worse, or Tim Bogart. You don't know if they're going to be better or worse or equal or whatever. But the Mets were in a fine situation. You don't want to be in that situation. But it's not like it's a 12-year manager. It's not like it's Tony La Russa, who you look at and say, God, he's so good. This is a really difficult decision. It was a non-decision. And in typical Mets fashion, they completely messed it up, which doesn't surprise at all. 800-919-3776. Let's go to a couple calls, and we'll continue to take the calls up till 10:30. And at 10:30, Stump Rothenberg. Mario in Jersey City. Mario, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
How's it going, Dave? So I agree totally that this is considered cheating. The only thing I just wanted to mention that no one's really mentioning, it was a little bit inevitable that this might happen. I mean, MLB should have stepped in front of it, you know, stop being behind the times. You know, there's millions of people watching on TV that they see the pitch coming. So it's kind of like if a teacher kind of, you know, gives out a test, writes the answers on the board and says, don't look up on the board. You know, some people are going to take a couple answers. The Astros basically, like, got 100 and got a perfect score. So it was a little obvious that they're cheating. So I agree, it's totally cheating. They went too far with the buzzers and all that that's coming out. But come on, MLB should have known a little bit better, you know, stepped a little bit in front of it, start using, like, you know, head devices or even the buzzers. But,
see, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But they did it. Baseball said enough, and then they just said, yeah, enough, and they just continued to do it. So you're right. Maybe baseball should have gotten more involved, but they did put the edict out that this is it, and the Astros said, absolutely not is this it. We just continue along. Pablo in Tennessee. Pablo, you're on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? I'm just calling. I want to say we're assuming that the Mets didn't know. or that Beltran didn't tell them. What if he did tell them? And what if he told them, listen, these last 2 years, these two teams got caught. I got a better way so that we won't get caught. We'll get to a World Series with the team we have. And, you know,
it's a lot of speculation, Pablo. Really? What if he told them this, they said this, he responded this, and they said this? I mean, that's kind of like high schoolish, isn't it? All I can react on is what they said. And what they said was they didn't have this conversation with him. They could have been forthright. They could have been honest. He told us what went on. We thought it was a thing of the past. We wanted to move on from it. And now baseball came out with this, and we decided this is what we have to do. They could have handled it so many ways. You'd be like, all right, you know what? Fine. But in a story they're not even involved in, it's now at least this segment of it over. And you look and you're like, oh, the Mets did it again.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, 800-919-3776. We have two open phone lines, so line them up, guys. And this is championship weekend. You want to ask about Jason Garrett? You want to ask about the draft? You want to ask about next season? You want to ask about the Ravens and the disaster of a game last week. You want to ask, can Tannehill win in a big spot? Wherever you want to go. 800-919-3776. Now, when we went around the league, I was remiss in not letting you know Around the League was driven by the all-new Ford Lincoln of Queens. Get the best pricing around at Ford Lincoln of Queens off the corner of Hillside Avenue and Queens Boulevard in Jamaica. Call 888-YES-FORD or FordLincolnOfQueens.com. 800-919-3776 gets you involved in the frenzy. Kai's going to play. Ty's going to play on Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. You get involved that way. If you say, I'm a little shy and I don't want to call, any way you want to get involved, get involved. 800-919-3776 at Rothenberg ESPN on Twitter. And away we go. Alex in the car, lead us off on a championship weekend frenzy.
If the NFL had a Conn Smythe Trophy winner instead of just the Super Bowl MVP, who is it at this point?
At this point, it's Derrick Henry. I think at the end of the day, we're probably looking in a different direction, and I think there's a really good chance that it's Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is, for my money, the best player this postseason. 800-919-3776. Sal in the car. Sal, you're on the frenzy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, no. That's terrible. This is the cardinal rule of the frenzy. No, hey, how are you? What's going on? Pleasure to be on with you. Hey, Dave, big fan of the show. Love you. Impressed by your weight loss. None of that. Right to your questions. Let's go to Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. John Drummond wants to know, the Chiefs will win by 20, in my opinion. What do you say about that? No, I do not believe that. Look, the Chiefs were fortunate to win last week. If the Texans didn't shoot themselves in the foot over and over and over. And Tennessee, you know, there are certain teams that kind of get hot at the right time. And maybe they're playing better than they actually are. I think Tennessee is that team. I don't think Kansas City blows them out by any stretch. I think there's a very competitive football game. Tyrone in Newark is on the frenzy. Go ahead, Ty.
Hey, what do you think the Cowboys reckon to be next year?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, how I don't even know their schedule. Let me see how they have this offseason. Let me see how they draft, and then we'll look at what the Cowboys are going to be. 800-919-3776. Joe, Jersey, Frenzy, go.
Hey, Dave, who is the best quarterback in New York? Thank you. I'll hang up.
I think it's Darnold for the moment, but I don't know that it stays that way forever. I like Daniel Jones. I was really, really impressed by what Daniel Jones was able to do. I thought he was excellent. Leo, he wants to know, did Jason Garrett only get hired because he's in the same division and knows the opponents? No. I think the Giants like him a lot. I think they're really comfortable with him, and I think that they have been big fans of the Garrett family for a very long time, and I think that all factored in to the way that they went ahead and hired. All right, Kyrie, you playing on the frenzy here?
Will Riverboat Ron make Dwayne Haskins any semblance of Cam Newton?
Cam Newton, no, but I think there's a real opportunity that Haskins is a legitimate quarterback. Look, the Redskins have had a really, really good offseason. up to this point. Angel in Stamford. Angel, you're on the frenzy.
Where does Brady go next year?
I think he stays in New England. I mean, there was an article from Joe Namath yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw, and he was asked about finishing his career on the Rams, and he said it was the worst thing he did. He in watching video when he's on the Rams now to end his career actually pains him at this point. Wasting Time wants to know on Twitter, do you see the Raiders moving on from Derek Carr? Yes. Yes. There's no way that John Gruden is going to move into the future with Derek Carr as their starting quarterback. Ethan in Virginia is on the frenzy. Go ahead, Ethan.
Super Bowl matchup you most want to see and Super Bowl matchup you least want to see.
Most want to see, I think, is Kansas City and San Francisco, because I think they're the two best teams. And let's flip it. Least want to see Tennessee and Green Bay. There's not a matchup that does not intrigue me, but I think that's the least for me. Ty, would you like to play in this week's frenzy?
I would like to play. So it's legacy time for a quarterback and a head coach, and I'm talking about Andy Reid and Aaron Rodgers. Who has the most to gain in the next 3 weeks in terms of winning a Super Bowl?
Well, the most to gain, I think, is Aaron Rodgers, and I'll tell you why. Because there's not a lot left of Aaron Rodgers. So if Aaron Rodgers doesn't win this year, does he ever have another opportunity? On the flip side, Andy Reid, as much pressure, and there is pressure on Andy Reid to win, but if they don't win, I mean, Pat Mahomes is in year three. They're going to be good for years. They're going to have more opportunities. They were in the AFC Championship game last year and lost in overtime. They're back this year. They're going to be a staple in this round for years and years. Matt and Ronkonkoma. Matt, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, will the Jets keep Lev Bell this year?
No. No, I don't think the coach wants him. And as you can tell already, the coach is going to get, for the most part, what he wants to get. Zach Hirsch on Twitter says, where do the Jets go in the draft this year? The Jets have to fix this offensive line. You've invested so much in the young quarterback. You need to fix the offensive line. And let's be fair, the Giants need everything. The Jets defense was pretty good. They really were. They were pretty good. So I'm not saying they don't need pieces on the defense. They're going to get Mosley back. They're going to get, what's his name, Williamson back. So the Jets' defense is heading in the right direction. The offensive line is awful, and Douglas and Gase need to fix it and immediately. Jim, Long Island, you're on the frenzy.
Isaiah Simmons or offensive tackle, Giants draft?
I love Simmons. And here's the thing, and I've said this, and Rick got all upset with me yesterday. There is no reason the Giants shouldn't trade back in the first round. He says, oh, you make it sound so easy. I'm not making it sound easy. If you're a competent general manager and there are multiple guys you like, you can trade down a spot or two, let teams move up, take the quarterback, and land a Simmons or a Wirfs or one of these elite tackles or one of these elite athletes on defense and get a couple picks later on in the draft. All right, why don't you blow it dead, Kai? And there you have it. A beautifully produced, wonderful Saturday morning frenzy.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
Well, you can try. We'll see how successful or unsuccessful, in fact, you are. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great, the sensation. I'll tell you more about him later. Andrew M. Cohen. All right, Ty, how you feeling? You feel good about this? You feel like you're going to put a good performance forward with these calls, these questions? You feel negative? Where is your head at right now?
Listen, Dave, in order for us to be a success, I've got to come into it with positive energy. I feel great.
You feel good, then I feel good. 800-919-3776. Now, we're going to get to the calls in a moment. Will you also be participating in this episode of
Stump Rothenberg? I will, in fact, be a participant in Stump Rothenberg.
And you're going to have like a 1990 NBA All-Star.
No, I actually have something pretty relevant. There was the anniversary of something that occurred yesterday, and I'm going to ask you about that.
Is it in sports?
It is 1,000% in sports.
Great. I look forward to that. All right, here we go. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam, you lead us off. Stump Rothenberg, go.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
This is a movie sports question. Sports movie.
So it's a sports movie question.
Yes.
Okay.
In the movie Rocky, Mm-hmm. What were the names of his two pet turtles?
Cuff and Link, I believe.
You got it.
Oh! Okay, all right. That's 1-0. That was very impressive. And that's 1-0. All right, here we go. Let's go to Tony Bridgeport. Good start. Tony, let's continue along.
Hey, Rothenberg, first thing I'm going to make you aware, you can't find this answer on Google.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay, the next thing is, who was the first rookie to be placed on the All-Star ballot in baseball?
First rookie on the All-Star ballot in baseball?
Yeah. All-Star ballot
right,
is
so
for the year you did previous.
What'd you say?
And remember now, the All-Star ballot is basically from knowing you from previous year, right?
Yeah, I understand the All-Star ballot, how it works. I don't know what year. So you're talking about like the ones that the fans fill in?
Yep. Yeah. Who was the first rookie to be placed on that ballot?
All right. I mean, this is going to be a complete guess. So it's a rookie placed on the ballot. So someone that was known before. I don't know. I'm not going to get it right. I'm going to guess, because I used to do this when I was a kid, so early 80s. I'm going to guess Fred Lynn.
Good guess, but no.
What's the answer?
It's in that year, though.
Is it right? Was the right year?
Close.
All right, what's the answer?
Willie Randolph.
Willie Randolph. Okay. All right.
Not bad. Off to a pretty good start. 1-1.
That's a great question, Ty. Keep him up like that. All right, Chris and Bethpage, he's usually pretty good. Chris, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
I am, Dave, and you know what? I don't like the fact that you can't Google it, because how do we know that's the right answer? That's all I'm saying.
Now, Chris, I look at you as an aficionado,
yes,
of Stump Rothenberg. Did you love that question? Did you love that question?
No, not at all. No. I don't like anything that you can't verify. I don't think that's verifiable. How does he know that?
I could have completely made it up. All right, go ahead. Chris, let's not lose sight in the minutia. You're up.
All right, Dave, number one hits trivia, okay, in music.
Okay.
All right? Which artist spent the most years from their first number one hit to their last number one hit?
So repeat this question to me.
All right. Number one hits in the history of pop music, okay, on the charts.
It's a solo artist.
Well, they were part of a group first, a duo, mm-hmm, and then individually had their own number one hit.
Okay.
And I'll tell you this, it was 35 years is the span from their first number one hit to their last number one hit. 35 years. So they had a hit, you know, I'll say this, they had a hit in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And then this individual had a hit in the late 90s. Number one. Both went to number one.
A
very popular person.
Very popular person. So,
yes.
A duo to start, and then
duo to start, then the individual had the number one hit on their own.
I don't think I'm going to know it. I'm thinking ABBA, but it's probably not. Paul Simon, but it's probably not. So it's a duo, so it can't be ABBA. So Paul Simon is the way I'm thinking, right?
You're along the right path. I'm just saying that's a good way to go about it. Like, that's a good guess. It's not Paul Simon, though.
Clapton, but I don't think he was ever duo related. I don't know the answer, so I'm going to guess Eric Clapton.
All right. It's Cher. With Sonny and Cher, I got You, Babe, 1964.
Yep.
Then Do You Believe in Life After Love in 1999. 35 years between number one hits.
Okay. All right. So there you go.
Gotta admit, I'm a tad bit concerned. We're under 500 for the first time in 4 weeks.
Okay, listen, it's the infancy stages. Calm yourself down. Evan and Lindenhurst. Evan, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, good morning. How are you?
Good, Evan. How are you?
Good. So my question is about presidents.
Okay.
And I want to know, since FDR, mm-hmm, who is the only president who was not previously a vice president to lose re-election?
Give me the question again.
Since FDR, who is the only president who was not previously a vice president to lose re-election?
To lose re-election? All right, so now, I mean, this is going to be boring, but I got to think who are the presidents that we've had. So, since FDR, so... All right. So he was not vice president?
Correct. There's only one since FDR who was not previously a vice president and lost re-election.
Is it Carter?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Jimmy Carter, 76, he won. 80, he lost to Reagan. All right, so now we're back to 500, Ty, so your fears can be alleviated. Let's go to Joe in Staten Island. Joe, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
So I'm going, this is going to be hopefully 3-for-3 against you. Only MLB Hall of Famer to have a 30 home run season and a 0 home run season.
30 home run season and a 0 home run season. Okay. That's a good question. Did he play a lot in the 0 home run season?
Yes, at least 200 at-bats.
Yeah, 200 at-bats. Boy, this is a good question. I like this question. Had a 30 home run season and a 0 home run season. And it's a long time ago?
No, not too long. Probably right in your wheelhouse, like when you were growing up.
I'm gonna say Ichiro. No, it can't be Ichiro because he's not famous. No, let me backtrack that. But it's somebody like that, right? Like a guy that had the potential of power and then didn't hit home runs. Also, I don't know.
Give me a hint.
I don't want a
hint.
No, I don't want a hint. I don't know. I would guess like a Ty Cobb or a Frank Homerun Baker, but you're saying it's somewhat recent. I don't have the answer.
Kirby Puckett.
Kirby Puckett had a 0 home run season, huh?
Yep.
Wow. If that and Ty, you can look that up. If that is true, that's a terrific question. If that in fact is accurate. All right. So let's go to DJ in Queens as we sit here at 2-3. DJ, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Rothenberg, it's a pleasure to speak with you, man. How's it going?
I am well. The floor is yours.
So I'm going to give you a layup here.
Means you can ask me a brutal question, but go ahead.
No. It's actually a layup.
All right.
The polar bear, Pete Alonso, shattered the single-season home run records for the New York Mets and MLB rookies in 2019. Who were the two Mets and the rookie that previously held those records?
No, we're not
and
doing
how many home
we're
runs.
Not,
did
we're,
they
not,
hit?
We're not doing nine different questions. So one question, one answer. We're gonna move on. One question, one answer. We're not doing nine multiplications of this. No, Steve in the car. Steve, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, big fan, buddy. How's it going?
Good. One question, one answer, right, Steve? You know the rules.
Of course, my man, Dave. Okay. What is the tallest mountain peak in the Northeast United States of America?
Tallest mountain peak in the Northeast?
Correct.
All right. Now, it could be Mount Washington, which I was there in New Hampshire. I'm going to go with that because that's what the bumper sticker said.
That's right. This car climbed Mount Washington. Great
there you
job.
Go. This car climbed Mount Washington. We stayed at a beautiful hotel in Mount Washington a couple of summers ago. We had a great time. It's a really fun place to go. All right, so now we're back to 500. I got to push above 500. Ty, do you want it? Do I go with Kyrie? Do I go with Ryan on the phones?
It's up to you, my man. I just want to confirm, though, Kirby Puckett in his rookie season did hit. He was homerless in his rookie season.
Oh, and he had how many at-bats?
He had 583 plate appearances.
Wow. That, I gotta be honest, that is a great question.
That's what we do here.
This is what we do. Alright, so I'm gonna go just because he's been on hold, and maybe I'll go to you if I get this wrong. Ryan, Long Island. Ryan, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey Dave, how you doing?
Good.
I got a sports movie question for you.
Okay, alright.
Are you familiar with The Karate Kid, the original?
Of course.
So, do you know the theme song from that, from the montage where he's winning in the tournament, You're the Best Around?
Yes.
What was that originally supposed to be written for? That song was supposed to be in a different sports movie, a very famous sports movie. And what song was it supposed to replace in that movie?
I think it was supposed to be in Rocky. 3, if I recall.
Correct.
And what did they go with, Ty? What did they go with, Ty?
The Eye of the Tiger.
There you go. Look at you. Give him a ding. There you go. Good job. All right. So I think we're going to call it. We went 4-3, above 500, and I think we're going to end it there. How do you feel about that?
I feel pretty good because you started off 1-2, and I like I said, I was nervous.
And
you rebounded.
Do I ever let you down?
You have sometimes.
But not often.
Well, how much do you weigh today?
212.8.
I was looking for you to be 212, so you'd let me down today.
All right. You know what? I got 12.8 pounds to get rid of in the next 6 weeks.
And I'm confident you can do it.
And I will do it. Stump Rothenberg, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. He's in the midst of battling litigation for me right now. And he's dominant in his performance. You should see when he cross-examines the witness, it's like nothing you've ever seen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through very careful legal planning. Call 516-877-0595 or visit him, amcohenlaw.com.
Now, Dave, if I'm not mistaken, he's representing the Astros.
Yeah, but he's not doing very well with that. He's struggling mightily when it comes to the Houston Astros.
Well, they got a soft penalty.
Yeah. $5 million, which is the largest penalty they could possibly get. The GM gets banged. The manager gets banged. And they lose first and second round picks for the next 2 years.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you were to guess what the odds were for the Astros to win the World Series, what would you say? Like, where they rank in terms of the odds?
I don't know the odds. I would say the Yankees are clearly one. I'd say the Dodgers are two. And then I'd probably say the Astros are three.
The Astros right now are two.
They're behind only the Yankees.
Only the Yankees. In other words, they were hit so hard, the odds to win the World Series didn't change a bit.
They're a talented team. Listen, whether he's cheating or not, is Jose Altuve a great player?
He is, but let's not make it seem like we don't know how they're going to recover from this. Like they're in such a dump.
You don't think there's a pretty good chance that 5 years from now they feel the punishment of this?
Of course, because of the draft picks. But right now, next season, that's what matters.
So is that what you? So if the commissioner came down and said they are not eligible for the postseason next year, you would feel good about that?
I would feel great about it.
That'd be ridiculous.
And it's also ridiculous that he says this was a player-driven scandal and no players were suspended.
How are you going to suspend players?
It's a player-driven scandal.
Right.
Those were his words.
Right. How are you going to suspend? So now you're going to take the players away from Major League Baseball? So one of the great draws of baseball is the Astros.
Well, this is what happens when you cheat. That's what happens when you cheat. You've extended this too long.
We had a successful stump Rothenberg.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.